First, I want to tell you, there was a little boy. Matter of fact, if DC was here, I was going to say it was DC, but DC's not here. So let's see, who's the little boy I can pick? Doug. Doug was waving, so I said, there's a good one to pick on. Doug surprised his grandmother one morning and brought her a cup of coffee. He made himself and was so proud, he anxiously waited to hear the verdict on the quality of the coffee. The grandmother had never in her life had such a bad cup of coffee. As she forced down the last sip, she noticed three of those little green army men. Yeah. There are three little green Marines in the bottom of her cup. So she said, honey, would you please, why would there be three little green Marines in the bottom of my cup? And Doug replied, you know, Grandma, it's like on TV. The best part of waking up is soldiers in your cup. God is good. Yes. Well, look, we're going to talk. We're going to be talking about what we started on last week as Independence Week. Yeah, last week was Independence Day, so this is Independence Week. I hope that you have been practicing some of the stuff from last week. I know I have to practice it all the time. I know that you think because you may think because I'm a preacher. You know, I just think the preachers had it made. Their life was luxurious. Everybody loved them. They never had a problem. Their car always ran because angels worked on it in the middle of the night. Their house never had any problems because the angel carpenters came in and worked on it. And the family was perfect and nobody ever got hurt and all this stuff. I used to think that until I became one. And I became one. What I discovered was, what come with the pulpit was a target on your back. Amen. And so I learned how to say none of this moves me. Sometimes I had to say it more than once. But again, DC just texted and said it looks like Sierra's not going to play for the rest of the year. We don't know yet because she ain't been to the doctor. But she may. One thing, and I hate this because it's like a generational curse, and I don't like that sound. I have bad knees, and my boys both have bad knees, and Sierra looks like, I mean, bad knees and hernias running the family, and again, she may have a torn knee, so that's going to be out for the season, and that's just a whole lot to put up with her. I'm not talking about DC, I'm talking about her, because anybody ever had that kind of operation, you're down for like 6 weeks, and when they put you back, so let's be praying for Sierra, but also pray for Mom and Dad. Because they invest a lot in Sierra's life. And when you're investing in somebody's life and you see them going places and the university's looking at them and all this stuff going on, they're wanting to do what's best for her. And she wants to be a doctor, which is awesome too. She wants to be a pediatric oncologist. But she wants to do kids with cancer. Amen. And she's smart enough for it. Amen. She wants to do it by going with scholarships, and that's one of the ways to do it. So again, God's able, no matter what, God's able. But again, it's just a 6 week thing. It's not a out forever. It's just out for 6 weeks. If that's the problem, we'll find it out later. But let's pray for them too. Right, when you're praying. And last week we started on getting past your past, and I like this sign. Yesterday ended last night. You know, some of us have a whole big problem with that because we have yesterday all over us all the time. We have yesterday lit and written on our forehead. We have yesterday written on our sleeve. We definitely have yesterday written on our shoulder. We have yesterday written on our back. You know, matter of fact, you know, a lot of us, if we could learn to get out of yesterday, some of our problems really would, you know, what Paul said yesterday, all my problems seem so far away. Was that up there? What happened up there? Oh, what happened? It was just working good. Well, I did. I thought, hold on, let's try. Hold on, we're going to do this right. We'll figure this thing out. It's just part of that thing. It's just part of that part. Press off. Yeah, we're going to press off. Hold on. Press off, and in a minute, we're going to press on. Ha ha ha! No. Okay. Let's see if she comes back. Let's see here. And I'm going to take this down and I'll bring her back up. Because it's all, it was just supported all the other stuff. It should support this. Da-da-da. Y'all go ahead and fellowship a little bit. Turn to the person next to you and say, isn't this awesome? That means God's up to something. Tell somebody that means God's up to something. Y'all tell somebody that. And I'm just going to power it back. I'm going to take care of it. I think I got it figured out. Da-da-da. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da. Hey, 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 hello. Y'all ain't talking to each other. I want to hear some chatter. Come on. Y'all go ahead and talk to each other. Ask them how they're doing. Ask them how their week was. Ask them how God is to them. All that good stuff. Go ahead. We're coming up. We're up and coming. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da. Hey, hey, hey. Problems, goodbye. Well, that's back up. All right. Let's see. Now that is coming back up. Let's see here. Y'all got to tighten up now. If we don't get it, we'll just have to do it without it. That's not a problem because I still got the sermon. I just ain't got the all that PowerPoint I worked on. I'll just hold it up and walk down the aisle and let y'all see it. Okay, come on. It's coming up. It's coming up, y'all. Well, we're moving on up to the east side. That's somebody in the sky. I wonder who that is. That was some crazy guy hollering glory. Glory! You look real sharp. If you look real sharp, you'll see my feet sticking out, my nose sticking out. You know it's me. Here we go. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord. It's going to work this time. Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Hey, hey, hey. Goodbye. Da 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 da. Da da da. There you go. Oh, look at there. All right. For all y'all guys that talk to engineers, I'm playing with y'all. I'm playing with y'all. Look. Engineers, you want something fixed, call an engineer. You want something tore up again, call an engineer. You want something fixed and tore up, call an engineer. Amen. All right, here we go. Now we're going to do it. Getting past your past. Yesterday ended when Paul McCartney says, yesterday all my troubles seem so far away, but now they're here to stay because I believe in yesterday. What he's trying to say is his mind was on yesterday because yesterday seemed better than today. And the problem is when you're living in yesterday, it'll cause back, listen to me carefully, it'll cause backaches. It'll cause heartburn. It'll cause indigestion. It will cause your blood pressure to go up. It will cause your sugar to rise. Did you know that? A lot of us, we will find ourselves a lot better in a lot of ways. Plus, it clogs your thinking. It causes you to have this little problem called thinking. All right, so we got to get past this. So here we're going to go. From last week, we're going to start over. I'm just going to show a few things. I love that. Don't stumble over something that's behind you. Amen. That's all stand for the reading of the word. I'm just going to go through a few slides, and we're going to go right into today's message after we bring it up to speed. Look at it up here. Ready? It says Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Oops, I'm just looking like I need a bib, I'm telling you. I went by there. Look, I thought I snuck a donut. No, I didn't, because the donut was all run down here. All right, ready? All right. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All right, let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for this day. I thank you, God, for all you do for us, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for touching Sierra right now, too, Lord, touching her family. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and we love you. And the church said, amen. And against my high five, low five, no five, four and a quarter, three and a half. Come on, give them something, and come on down. All right, Remember this from last week. One thing. That word one thing is talking about three things, but one thing means what I've got to put them in this order. This is the order that they've got to be in. Beginning the things which are behind, then I've got to move ahead. I can't reach forward as long as I'm behind. I was watching Sierra and them play yesterday, and I was watching them play when they were trying to steal bases. Sierra was stealing bases, and you know what? I would see her. She'd be on first base, and she'd do like this. And then, they'd see her, and they'd throw the ball, and she'd go back, and she'd go back out like this. And then they would look, and as they were trying to throw the ball here, she was over here. Okay, she stole her way all the way at home. Now, here's the question, though. If she'd have stayed on first, could she ever got second? So many of us are so stuck on first, we can't get to second. Because we're living in yesterday. So here we go. There's the rearview mirror. Anybody try to drive through a rearview mirror? It's almost impossible to drive through a rearview mirror because all you see is what's behind you. You can't see what's ahead. So here it goes. Again, here's some slides from last week. Instead of focusing our thoughts and our energies on the opportunities of today, we allow painful memories just to fill our mind. And when you let these painful memories constantly fill your mind, they will sap your strength. If all you can think about is how you were done wrong, all you can think about when somebody mentions somebody's name, you're having a good day, and somebody mentions somebody's name. How many's ever had a great day and somebody mentions somebody's name and all of a sudden your day's ruined? How many times you've been having a great day and a song comes on the radio? You're singing and having a good time and all of a sudden a song comes on that reminds you of something or an event and all of a sudden the day's ruined. It's because painful memories will actually, if they're not given to God, they destroy your present. Amen? So we simply just can't let go of our pain. But instead, because if you just try to let it go, or if you simply can't let go of this pain, you just relive it again and again and again and again. I can look in somebody's eyes when I'm talking to them, and if I know they've been somewhere, especially my kids or people in my family, I know they've had a problem with certain things, certain people, and I mention that person's name, and all of a sudden I see them kind of, I know what's going on. They're reliving that past. And all of a sudden they've been doing like this, and now they're going, they're reliving that past. But you know what? God's got other plans for you. Amen? Praise God, God's got other plans for you. He says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Today. Today His mercies are fresh and new. Today. Y'all say today. Today. Not yesterday. Today. Say it again, not yesterday, but today. So watch this. Here we go. We're getting ready to get into our little thing here we're going to talk about. I just wanted to, again, just put another slide up so you can see this. Sometimes we're focusing so intently on the past, and without exception, the more we focus, listen carefully, please listen carefully, the more we focus on the past, the more out of focus our present becomes. I got things in my past I hate. I got things in my past that I'm responsible for. I got things in my past that until I learned better, I was doing stupid mess until I learned better. I know none of y'all have done that. Well, the more you focus on your past, the more your present gets out of focus. And the more your present gets out of focus, there is no future. It's over. So watch this. No amount of bitterness or anger can change what happened yesterday. Amen? Matter of fact, here it is. Watch this. Watch this. Tears can't change the past. I've cried a bucket of them. Regrets can't change the past. Have you ever regretted anything? Worries can't change the past. Our complaints can't change the past. Here's our lead-in to this week. Watch this. Pop. I love that. I'm going to show that. You're healed when you're no longer mad at the pain, the people, and the problems God used to process you. Y'all can go home now. No, I'm serious. I said that, and I saw, look, y'all look like y'all were synchronized divers, both of you. Went like, you and Stephen. Okay, look, you're listen to me carefully. You're healed when you no longer are mad at the pain, the people, or the problems God uses to process you. So watch this. When we find ourselves focusing too intensely on the past, it is a sign. Watch this, that we need to focus on moving forward through forgiveness beyond the pain and reaching into a new start. How many have things in your life that Lord knows you wish you could get a new start? You got things you've done, you wish you could get a new start. You got things other people have done to you, you want a new start. I'm glad you're here today. Go ahead and get your rip cord out, wrap it around. I remember back in the day where you took the cord and you hooked it, had a knot in it, and you put it on top of your lawnmower, and you run it around, and you'd pull it, put it around, and then you'd pull it, and then daddy got it, then them old tight daddy decided to get a lawnmower that actually kept it in there. We didn't know how to use it. We kept walking around with it, holding it out. Okay, some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. That's all right. Okay, get ready. I love this. This is going to be awesome. What's that? Some of y'all are parked right here. God wants you to start. Here's where you park. Now, I'm colorblind. And most of the time, I don't have a problem with lights because if there was a problem, green lights to me look white. And sometimes the red light looks red, sometimes it don't. Yellow light sometimes looks yellow, sometimes it looks green. But, you know, that's not important because I usually can follow them. Except for there was one that was going on to Brother Haslip's house that was yellow on one side. I kid you not, it was yellow blinking this way and red blinking this way, and I never could tell which was which. And so I made a lot of people mad at me behind me at that yellow light as I was waiting for the light. People are stopped here waiting for me to move. I'm here, don't know if I can move. And so we're all stopped around the light, waiting for me to be able to see what color it was. Amen. Okay. Well, look, a lot of y'all right now are stopped there and don't realize that it's a red light. You don't realize that you're stopped. You don't realize that you're not moving forward. You don't realize any of this because you're still doing your everyday activity. You're still doing everything you've always done. You're still getting up in the morning, going to work. You're still getting up and doing your thing. At night, you do your stuff. And you're still moving, but you don't realize you're not moving forward mentally, spiritually, emotionally, because you are at a stoplight. So, I'm going to do an acrostic for start. The very first one. If you want to get past that stoplight, stop making excuses. When people talk to me, I talk to them all the time. I'm not necessarily here. I can be anywhere. I'm talking to people, and it always seems when I get talking to people, this stuff comes up when we get talking about things, especially if they know I'm a pastor and know I'm a counselor, man, they'll just start unloading. And so I can be sitting at the ball game, and somebody will probably say, aren't you a pastor? Yeah. Can I talk to you for a minute? I know what that means. Okay? So again, watch this. Stop making excuses. Now, I know you're thinking, well, what in the world is he talking about? Stop making excuses. Look, watch this. I say, well, if you can just let go, they'll tell me, say, well, you know what? My brother did something to me, my sister, my dad, my mom, my friend, my in-laws. They did something to me years ago, and I just can't let it go. And I'll say, well, why can't you let it go? And they'll say something like, excuse now, watch. You just don't know how bad they hurt me. There's an excuse. Or, they may not tell you this. What they're telling me also sometimes without telling me is, I really enjoy holding it over their head. Or, watch this. One day, when God helps me, maybe I can get over it. Right now, the pain is too fresh. And I'll say, well, when did it happen? 10 years ago, and the pain is still fresh? Then something's wrong. If you're going to start, if you're going to move forward, if you're going to get past your past, then you got to stop making excuses. Well, Pastor, every time I see them, I think about it. Yes, and you're going to have to get past your past. But Pastor, every time they do this, it reminds me of how bad it hurts. Or they're still stabbing me in the back. I still feel the pain. I still feel the knife turning. I still feel the shot in the chest. I still feel it every time I get around them. Watch this. Stop. Make, and don't get mad. This is how you get glad. Stop making excuses. If you really want to go forward, then it's up to you to get up and go forward. How many ever goes to work when you don't feel like it? How many ever goes to a ball game when you don't feel like it? How many ever goes and runs to help your child while you're sick yourself and you get up and take care of your child? As a pastor, I've been to the emergency room. I've been in the emergency room and my blood pressure was higher than the blood pressure of the person I was visiting. How many has done this, but you got up and did it anyway because you knew it was the right thing to do? You know, mark of maturity is when you do it, not because you feel like it, but you do it because you know it's the right thing to do. That's a mark of maturity. It's a mark of spiritual maturity, too. You do it not because you feel like it, but because you, like DC right then. Did you see what he just did? The phone kept ringing, and he said, he kept looking at his phone, which he doesn't do in praise and worship, but he kept looking at his phone, and he looked at me, and he said, the phone's ringing. And I said, uh-huh. Then he comes over to me. He says, it's Amy. He says, Amy, she's called me 12 times. And I said, that ain't for a loaf of bread, not in praise and worship. And so I said, answer the phone, son. So he gets down and goes out during the prayer request. He comes back up and said, Daddy, they just took Sierra off the field in the gator. They shouldn't even walk. They had to carry off the field. He said, Daddy, this ain't good. I said, well, go to her, son. He said, okay. And then he turned around and picked up his guitar and started playing. I looked at him and said, son, go. Matter of fact, I think I told him three times, go. He said, not till I finish this. Now, years ago, that wouldn't have happened. But you know what that was? That was a sign of maturity. Amen? He knew those few minutes right there was not going to make or break what's going on in Greenville. And so he set up here and he played anyway. Sometimes we let things keep us out of the loop over some of the silliest mess. We make excuses after excuse after excuse. I love this. Watch this. Get ready. Throw the excuses away. Watch this. I love it. A man that's good at making excuses is seldom good at anything else. Ben Franklin. One more time. I love that. A man that's good at making excuses is seldom good at making anything or good at anything else. Amen? Matter of fact, when I start talking, especially when my youngins were younger, and I said, do y'all know what's going on here? And they would go, but Dad, you don't understand. I go, here goes an excuse. When I'm talking to somebody, a lot of times there's something's going on, and especially if I know their heart's not in it, and they go, well, you just don't understand, and I know what's coming. An excuse. Because you see, excuses, watch this. Excuses are the nails that build a house of failure. Abraham Lincoln. I can't let it go. They hurt me too bad. I can't let it go because I'm still paying for it. I can't let it go. There's guys that have been to Afghanistan, lost their legs. Guys have been to Afghanistan, lost their sight, lost limbs. They come back. They went whole and they've come back and they're tore all to pieces. And a lot of times they can't get over. They can't get over it. And when they finally start moving through it, all of a sudden, guess what? You have a very powerful person with a very powerful testimony once they get past that. You know, Dave Reaver, I went to see him. He was called in the Navy, I think it was before they had the SEALs. It was in the Vietnam War. He was in the black something Navy. And he was patrolling in his boat down in Vietnam. And he had a phosphorus grenade, and he was getting ready to take it. And he was going to take that grenade, and he was getting ready to throw it into a hill that had Viet Cong in there getting ready to shoot him. And as he pulled up that phosphorus grenade, a sniper shot it right out of his hand. And when it shot it out of his hand, his whole body was engulfed in flames from that phosphorus grenade. He fell in the water to put it out, but it didn't go out. It kept burning. By the time the guys got there with the gurney, they put him on the gurney to bring him out. They thought he was dead, but he was still breathing. They put him on the gurney, and he burnt through the gurney. This guy was in bad shape. And so this guy here, his face, it took off part of his face. It took off his ears, took off his nose. It messed up. It took out one of his eyes. It was bad. He's burnt all over his body. And he's laying up there carrying to wherever, Walter Reed or wherever it is. And there's wrapped in bandages where they can and where they can't. He was just exposed. You can see all this stuff. And there was a guy next to him who had suffered something similar. He was burnt. This is the burn center. He was burnt. And Dave Reaver kept saying, "I don't know what I'm going to do, Lord. Look at me. I'm a mess. I can't do anything. I'm a mess." And he said, "I don't know how my wife's going to do when she comes. I've only been married for a few months. I don't know what we're going to do when she comes to see me. I don't know what we're going to do." He said, "I don't know if she wants to see me." And about that time, his buddy in the bed next to him, his wife came up, and she looked at him. And she said, his buddy who was burnt so bad, and his wife looked at him and said, "You know what? You disgust me." And she took her wedding ring off and threw it on the floor and walked out. And Dave Reaver was there, and he said, "Oh, no, God. What am I going to do? I've only been married a couple of months." He said, "What am I going to do? She's going to do the same thing." And he was so afraid. And when she came up, she looked at him. He said, "God, I know this is going to hurt. Let her just go and get over with. I know this is going to hurt." And she looked down, and she grabbed what she could. And she got to his forehead, and she gave him a kiss on the forehead. She said, "I love you, baby. We're going to get through this together." That man's had more surgeries than you ever imagined. But now he goes around the world and tells about the glory of God, how God saved him for a purpose, and that he didn't understand to start with, and he was angry. And he made all these excuses why he couldn't get better. But now he goes all over the world. I've been there with him. I talked to him. He's an amazing man. He said, "I understand that what happened to me before, God, listen, it didn't happen to me. It happened for me." If y'all could say that about your past. It didn't happen to me. It happened for me. You know, if I came from the right family, if I came from this, if I came from the right town, if I came from the right era, if I came from the right year, if I came from, or if you knew the parents I came from, let me tell you something. David Linton and Phyllis Linton are my parents, but I did not come from them. I came through them. I came from God. Neither one of them had a college education. Neither one of them graduated high school. That doesn't stop the point what I'm going to do. My parents were great to me. I had a good time with my parents. And praise God, my mom was up in heaven now jumping and having a good time with the Lord. But I'm here to tell you something right now. I didn't come from them. I came through them because God had a special purpose for me. He's got a special purpose for you. You didn't come from your parents. You came through your parents. And you come from God. God got you. He knows where He wants you. He knows the time, the era. He knows the hurt. He knows the pain. You know, Dave Reaver, it was so funny because Dave Reaver, this is the funny part. Dave, this isn't funny. He didn't have a nose, so his nose was pushed on. He didn't have an ear, so his ear was Velcroed on. He was in the Philippines preaching up on the stage, and it was so hot. He said while he was preaching, he got happy, and his ear fell off. He said everybody saw his ear fall off, so he reached down, and he picked up his ear, and he Velcroed it back on and kept on talking. And he said the people started shouting, hollering, "A miracle, a miracle." I'll tell you something. Quit thinking this stuff happened to you and start thinking this. This stuff happened for me. So now I am better at doing what I've got to do for God because of this stuff that I've been through. Matter of fact, when you can get to the point where you say, "None of this stuff moves me and I keep my joy," remember, that's when you graduate. So watch this. There's only two options. You can make progress or you can make excuses. Which one will it be? I've been on both ends of that spectrum. Matter of fact, when I went to Fountain, God was number one. One of the reasons that I grew so fast there is because I didn't make excuses. They told us all the problem was, and I would identify the problem, identify the cause, and then immediately identify the solution. Identify the problem, identify the cause, and then identify the solution. A lot of guys just walk around and keep on falling apart, making excuses, and that never got anywhere. We stayed stuck in so many cycles. And I'm here to tell you, in our own life, the same thing. We can make excuses, or we can identify the problem, identify the cause, and identify the solution. Once you do that, you can step forward. So, listen, two options. You can make progress, or you can make excuses. I'm going to leave us alone, okay? Somebody said thank you. Now we're going to go to T. If it's like, look, now the light changed. Somebody's going, whoo, I'm glad to see that light change. So if you want to leave the stoplight, stop making excuses. There's a lot of things I don't like in my past. There's a lot of things I don't like right now. But you know what? Hey, it doesn't matter. You know, Linda and I, remember I told you we're asking those little questions. I love these little questions that we get. It's in a jar. We pull them out. And we ask them back and forth. And it's a way for couples to get to know each other better. Even if you've been married 100 years, it's still an awesome thing because you get surprised at some of the answers. But Linda, I think I told you all this. Linda, the question was, what one of your features do you dislike the most? And so I said, my nose. She said, why? I said, well, it comes in handy in a race because I always win by a nose. I said, but to have a nose this big is kind of terrible because I still can't smell. I said, I got a big old nose that's broke. And she said, well, why? What's wrong with your nose? Because I thought it was one of your most attractive features. I know, Stephen, you keep quiet. But the point of the matter was, what you consider bad, somebody else may like. So I could walk around and go, well, watch this. How y'all doing? How? I just make fun of it. Now it's time for the Hawkbill tribe. I ain't Indian, amen. So Hawkbill tribe. All right. So here we go. Now the yellow light. Ready? T, take an inventory of your life. Now, this is going to be a hard one. But now, remember, the very first thing you got to do is stop making excuses. So after you stop making excuses, then you can take this inventory. But until you stop making excuses, don't go to this point. Because once you go to this point, that's when the excuses are gone. And now we're ready to do something. Remember, I'm telling you, I remember going to guys and I'd be trying to figure out problems. That was my job, to figure out the problems. And so I would go out to the boat and I go, okay, we're having this problem. We had 50 complaints about this one problem, and we're going to solve this problem so we quit having these complaints. And I would go to them and say, okay, one thing it looks like there, what I see is that the weld, there was a problem with the weld, how you did the weld, and there was a problem with preparation. And instead of the guy going, you know, I think you're right, and I think if we did this, it'd make it better. And I try to get the best guys to come help me, always get the best guys that knew what they were doing to help with the problem. But for the first 6 months I was there, every time I'd call a guy up and go to his place, and I'd come walking up with my clipboard, they'd go, oh, no. And I'd take it and I'd say, we're going to work on this problem, and we start working on it. The first thing that would go is, I didn't do it. They were so scared they were going to lose their job. I said, I didn't say you did do it. And they go, it's his fault. I said, I haven't even told you what it is yet. Okay, well, I didn't do it anyway. I said, we don't know that yet. Let's just try to fix the problem. And then we start talking about it, and I go, "This once we figure it out, I say, you know what? We didn't have this tight enough here, or we had this too small here. And I'd hear him go, but don't tell Mr. Fountain I did it. And I would tell him, dude or dudette, I'm not mentioning names. I'm trying to find the problem. Your name will never be mentioned unless you come up with a solution. Then I'll make sure your name's mentioned so you can get the kudos for it. And they were so afraid that somebody was going to tell on them. And so I asked the Lord to help me. I said, Lord, you got to help me. And so what I did was, with the Lord's help, I got a special pen made. It was a special triangle pen made, and it's called Continuous Improvement Program. And every time one of these guys came up with an idea to fix a problem and it was actually implemented, then they would get a picture standing with either Mr. Fountain or with Wyatt Fountain with a fresh, crisp $100 bill. They're shaking hands, and it's put up on the wall, and their idea was put up underneath there. You know what happened? In a couple of weeks, there was plenty of pictures. In a couple of months, we had to find another wall to put pictures on. We saved $1 million that year. Because people quit making excuses and started looking for solutions. Wow. It's amazing. So once you get past your excuses, take an inventory of your life. Now, what am I talking about by taking an inventory of your life? This is good stuff, I hope. Ready? Watch this. If I'm going to take an inventory of my life, watch this. Here's what I got to do. We need to evaluate our assets, our abilities, and our experiences. Or what we've got, what we can do, and how it worked as we took what we had and used it for the good of whatever's going on. So watch this now. Watch. After I figure out what I've got, what I can do, and what I've been through, I look and see what's left over after I've discarded what needs to be left behind. Because sometimes you're holding on to something you don't need to hold on to. I was in the woods praying one day. Some of y'all have heard this. I was in the woods praying one day. And while I'm in the woods praying, I'm sitting there on a stump. And out of nowhere came this terrible wind. And it lasted for at least a minute. It came through, and the trees literally did like this. And I'm in this little area here with the cutout where the trees are coming out like a little peninsula. And so I got the trees coming out here, and they're leaning over. And I'm here praying. I look up and I watch this. I just sit there for a minute or however long it lasted. And then it stopped. And when it stopped, all of a sudden, actually, because I was there in the shade, once it went over and come back up, I could see the sun through the trees. And I just asked God, I said, I know you're trying to show me something. Lord, can you explain what you're trying to show me? He said, look on the ground. I looked on the ground, and there was dead limbs all over the ground. Those dead limbs, watch, had been blocking the sunshine. Of course, I was enjoying the shade. But once the storm came through, it took out the dead limbs, and I could see the sun. Sometimes God allows storms in our life. Not so he can take stuff away just to be a mean old dad. But he takes stuff away. So in order, once the stuff is taken away through that storm, now you can see him a lot clearer. Wow. The psalmist said, I'm glad I was afflicted, Lord. Psalm 119. Matter of fact, Bethany went to me and said, Daddy, you got any idea? She was studying the Bible. And she ran over and said, Daddy, she said, have you ever heard of Psalm 119:71? It always tickles me when people are studying the Bible, especially my family, and they come to me like, and it's the first time they may have read it, and they come to me, and I love it. I like their excitement. And then when I give, and so I even stopped doing this, but I couldn't stand it. I had to do it this time. And said, like Daniel come to me, you know, with Psalm, with Jeremiah 29:11, he's going by, I know my plans for you is to prosper you, not to hurt you, blah, blah, blah. Daniel says, you ever heard that one? I said, yeah, Daniel, Jeremiah 29:11. He goes, oh, Dad. Bethany goes, Psalm 119:71. She said, that just spoke to me. I said, what, you were glad that you were afflicted? Because once you were afflicted, it drove you back to his word. And now you start to keep his word. She goes, yeah, how'd you know that? I don't know, Beth. It just came out of the air. Listen, what's left over after all's discarded? That's your inventory. You see, we get so busy focusing on what we lost that we lose sight of what we have and even gained. We're so worried about that one person or that one thing or that one situation or that one relationship or something, not realizing the relationships that the door opened to a bunch more relationships, or the door opened up to a whole better life for you. All this stuff. And all we can do is focus on the thing that we lost and lose out on all the opportunities that it opened for you. Now, watch this. Look, Galatians 3 and 4 says, you've experienced many things. Were all those experiences wasted? I hope not. Wow. I'm going to give you a challenge right now. I'll actually make this and pass them out. Try to have them out here for you next week. But here's what you do. An inventory of your life. This is fresh, and so I'll make one. I didn't have time to make it for you yesterday. All right. What I want you to do is, I'll try to make one for you, but until you do, you can do it for yourself if you want to go home and do this. Take your piece of paper and draw two columns here, have three areas. 1, 2, 3. At the top, I want you to put lost, kept, and gained. Lost, kept, and gained. And then I want you to write the situation that you went through. Whether it was a divorce, whether it was a loss of whatever, a job, whether it was whatever. Whatever the problem was, there was an argument that I had, and this argument really turned out to be more than I thought it was going to be, and it wound up breaking up stuff. So look, I want you to do this. Really, lost, kept, gained. And after you put lost, kept, and gained, you actually, I promise you, if you can be honest and not make excuses and be absolutely honest and ask God to help you, guess what? You're going to see how things really look, and you'll find out that although that there was the loss caused a lot of pain, there's still gain. Even though it hurt you, God in the end helped you because it didn't happen to you, it happened for you. There's a difference. Amen? So now, I'm just about through. We'll watch this now. I'm getting off of the ST, so I got ART. All right. I hadn't kept up with it too much, how to spell it. Ready? Now we got a go sign. We went from stop to yield. Take that inventory before you go forward. You got to take that inventory, because if you don't, all you're going to do is live in excuses. And remember what I said, excuses are the nails that build a house of failure. Anytime I used to get by that fountain, because they always gave me all the problems. Anytime I got somebody to start making excuses, here's what I would tell them. They'd be sitting there and they'd be going at it and going at it to me. Why, it can't work. Why, it was their fault. Why. And here's what I'd always tell them. Now, when you get through with your excuses and when you get through with blame, we'll fix this problem. We'll go ahead and get out your system now. I'm here. I'm listening. Go ahead and get it out. I want it out of your system. Once you get it out of your system, the blame and excuse game, we'll fix this problem. And they go, yeah, that's right. And so they would quit the blame, quit the excuse, and if I get around them and they hear me, and they knew that I didn't want to hear that. And so a lot of times, there was another guy would be sitting here. I just told him a couple weeks before, if you'll quit blaming and excusing, we'll go ahead and fix this thing. And I'd be sitting there, another guy come up going, but it's their fault, and blah, 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 blah. And the guy would look at him and say, look, if you would quit blaming and excusing, we can fix this thing. It tickled me because it started catching on. Amen? So now watch this. We've got to move forward. Here's the problem moving forward. It may not happen overnight. See, we try to track things. There's two ways you can go through life. You can have a microwave experience, or you can have a crock pot experience. Amen? A crock pot experience is a pretty cool thing, because you can take some of the toughest meat and throw in there. Take an old tough rooster, take something, throw anything in there, old tough meat, and put it in there all day long. When you come home, it'll fall off the bone. But you take that same rooster and throw him in the microwave, he ain't fit to eat when you get him out. It'll take you your set of teeth and two more sets of teeth to get through him. And some of us are trying to microwave our way out of it, and we can't chew it and wonder what's going on. Oh, come on now, don't shout me down. You're trying to microwave it, and God's trying to crock pot it. Yesterday, bless her heart, my mother-in-law, she decided, well, I took her to the doctor on Friday. And so when I took her to the doctor, I took her to Walgreens, I said, let's go shopping. So you just walk around the shop. So she went and she found her some Betty Crocker brownie mix. And she said, I'd like to have some brownies. And I said, well, okay. And so I got the brownie mix. I didn't know what to say. So we got the brownie mix. And yesterday, last night, I came back there last night. When I got there last night to make sure she had her nighttime medicine, I come in and she had her supper. And after she ate supper, she went over to the kitchen and she started doing something. So I walked in and said, what you doing? She says, I'm making brownies. I said, but Linda wanted to help you do that. Remember, she's got Alzheimer's. She said, Linda wanted to do that. She says, Linda ain't here. I said, but can you wait for Linda to have a mother-daughter experience? She says, no, I want some brownies now. And I said, well, then can we have a father-in-law, a mother-in-law, son-in-law experience? She says, what are you talking about? I said, teach me how to cook them. She says, the directions are written. I said, okay, but will you still teach me? She says, okay. And so I was doing it. She says, that's good enough. Now cook them. I said, okay. And she went and sat down. So I'm stuck in here with the stuff. But the thing was, you see, you couldn't microwave those things. They wouldn't have been fit. You had to take it and go through it. By the time I got through it, and I got a shoulder hurts, and I was trying to do this, and it was hurting my shoulder. I finally got in there, and I've never made brownies before, so I didn't know that it was going to be that sticky. And I didn't know I was going to make him fudge it's called fudge brownies. I didn't know I was going to make fudge brownies, and I was wearing a white shirt that is no longer white. And it kept sticking to the spoon, and so I kept doing it like this, and so I'm thinking, that's a whole lot of work. Just go over in the bread section and buy you a pack of brownies. So after about 25 minutes for them to cook, and my 30 minutes of whatever I was doing, so there's an hour. I'd have much rather gone to the food line and just picked up a pack until I'm sitting there working on today's sermon. I went, oh, wow. Oh, man. So I go over there and I look and I said, are you ready yet? And they said, quit opening that stove. Okay. You sure they're not ready yet? Close the stove. She says, you can take them out now. So I took them out. Then I made the second or third mistake. I tried to cut them right out of the oven. They don't work. They got to cool. So I had to wait, and all I could smell was. And then once it cooled, I said, food line ain't got nothing in the bread section. Tastes like this. Now, I said all that to say this. While you're trying to microwave, and God's trying to crock pot you, if you'll just wait. It won't be long before you start going, wait a minute, something does smell good around here. Quit looking in the oven. Let him do his thing. Too many of us try to do it for him. It may take a while, but eventually you're going to get something that a microwave can't even touch. You got to let God do his work. So it may take a while moving forward. Now it may take a while. Watch this. You may feel stuck in the process. Let me tell you a little secret. You can't go by your feelings. The Bible says in Jeremiah, it says that the heart is deceitful more than anything. When it says the heart is deceitful, what it's saying is you can't trust your feelings. If we go by our feelings, good Lord, if we'd gone by our feelings, I would have got up with DC and left when we got the news just a few minutes ago, if we go by feelings. It took me two verses of the song to get my head back in the game because I'm thinking, oh, no, I know how that hurts because I've been there. And DC knows how it feels because he's been there. And I know she's trying to get a scholarship and all this, and just all that went through my mind. And is she hurting? You know, what's going on? I know how bad it hurts. And I had to stop and say, wait a second. You can't do any good there. You stay and do what you got to do. Get your head back in the game. And then I told DC to leave, and I saw DC. I saw it in the moment the Lord spoke to him, and he said, I got to get my head back in the game. So watch. Watch this. You can't go by feelings. So what do I go by? Watch this. It requires first acting by hope. Now you're going to say, well, this is kind of crazy here now. Hope, faith, and courage. Well, hope and faith are similar. Hope is something that I'm actually believing is going to happen. Are you going to be there tomorrow? I hope so. Are you going to be able to do this? I hope so. Are you going to win the lottery? Well, a hope and a wish are the same. Look, the only difference is a wish can be something without God. A hope, when you're hoping, God's going to be in it. So watch this now. So I'm hoping. Once I hope, it's one thing to hope for it. But as long as I'm sitting right here, it ain't going to happen. By faith, I got to reach out and grasp for it. So I can sit back here and make excuses, or I can decide to quit making excuses, do an inventory of my life, look what I've lost, look what I've gained, thank God for the gains, and even thank Him for the losses. And then after you do that, then start moving forward. It may take a while. It may not happen overnight. You may even feel stuck at times. But remember this, you can't go by how you feel. You got to go by what you know is real. Once you start moving forward, it's going to require hope, meaning this is what I believe is going to happen. This is what I believe. I believe God showed me this was going to be this way. I'm holding on to these scriptures. I'm believing these scriptures are true. I believe what God said is truth, and I'm going to hold on to it. And then you got it by faith. You start reaching for it. You start grasping for it. Hope is planted in my heart. Watch this. Hope is planted in my head. And as hope is planted in my head, it moves to my heart. And once it moves to my heart, it becomes faith and moves to the limbs. And I start reaching for it. And the courage is for me to stand up, even though I don't feel like it. To move forward, even though I'd rather just sit back and make excuses. It's easy to make excuses. I can excuse all day. You know, some people make excuses so much you think they get paid for it. So get ready. That was, here we go. We got, what is it, A's next? Come on, A. Still green. Isn't that cool? Just what I just said, you need to act in faith. Look up, look out, look around, be ready. When I say launch out new territory, that doesn't necessarily mean physical territory. What if you're having a problem with a person? Launch out. Remember telling you about this, and I'm trying to hurry up. There was this lady at work. She got promoted over me, and she hated me. She was a big woman, too. I mean, she looked like she could crush me. This woman, for some reason, hated me, and I think it wasn't me, it was the God in me. She just hated me. She got promoted over me, and whenever I got around her, she made fun and cut up, and she actually made assignments and would give me some of the sorriest assignments. Bad. And we had a Saturday where we're going to have to work on this Xenoroll system. Anybody ever know what Xenoroll is? Xenoroll system, conveyor system. We're working on a Xenoroll system. And a carousel that went all around the warehouse and some other things. And so while it's going down, they said, we got some new people here today that we want the experienced people to train. So I looked out and I saw there's like five people that had not been there before. And she was one of them. And so they started pairing the people up. Here she was. I paired the first person up with my buddy. I said, well, let me have the next one, Lord. My other buddy. I said, let me have the next one, Lord. Another buddy. I said, let me have the next one. Went to my nutty buddy. I was left with that woman. I said, well, Lord, at least give me something where I can send her off and go get stuff for me. Can you do that for me, Lord? And I was praying, Lord, give me a job today that I can send her off. I ain't got to be around her. She's going to have to listen to me today. Do that. And they said, David, you and this woman, y'all going to do Xenoroll maintenance. And I said, but that's 30 foot in the air. And they said, yep. And I said, we got to be in a cage. They said, yep. I said, together. They said, yep. I said, I'm talking about, that's a small cage. They said, yep. You take her up and show her how to do this. And so I was in this cage, right this wide. And about that long, and we could barely get, because she was so big, we could barely get in there. I was scared she was going to tilt the thing over. I'm not kidding. She's just, big. And so here we go. I'm talking about like muscles, and she looked like a WWF wrestler. She was just okay. And I was kind of worried she could get there and slap me, and I was going to fall over the thing, you know. We get up, and she starts cussing on the way up. I said, "No, God, no. Why'd you do this to me? No, no, no." And all the way up, she's just a cussing. We get up there, and she starts cussing about what's going on. She's cussing that she's got to be there on Saturday. She's cussing because she got to do maintenance. She's cussing because she got to be in that cage with me. I wanted to say, "Well, honey, you ain't no prize either." And she said something like, "You weren't here the other day. Why weren't you here?" I said, "My son was sick." She said, "Well, what was wrong with him?" I said, "Well, actually, if you want to know what happened," I said, "Daniel was diagnosed with the prognosis was cystic fibrosis." And I said, and she went, "Oh, no." I said, "Yeah, they told us that he wouldn't live to be 17. She goes, "Oh, no." And I said, "Yeah, but I'm going to tell you what happened." She said, "Well, tell me something." And I told her how on his first birthday, how God miraculously healed that boy. And I told the whole story. And she just sat there and tears came in her eyes. And she said, Tell me more. And before that day was over with, she was talking about, "God's good, ain't he? God is so good." And then, she'd say, "You got any more stories of God's goodness? Tell me some more." And I'd tell her some other things about God. And then she'd go, "Like, what about this? When we got down that day, she became one of my best friends. And if anybody started cutting up around me, she'd say, "You need to leave that boy alone. He's my friend." Now watch this. What did I do? There's a person that I had a problem with, because I didn't want to be around them because they were boisterous, they were loud, they were bigger than me. They talked junk. They were actually raunchy. I didn't want to be around them. God put us together. I stepped out of new territory and 30 foot in the air all day long where we couldn't get away. Look, he fixed it so she couldn't get away and I couldn't get away. A friendship started. And if I saw her today, she'd run to me and hug me. And I'd hug her back. You see, act in faith. Faith. You see, if we don't grow or move ahead, we're going to get stagnant. You know, the other day, Linda and I were out, and it was really, really hot. So we rode to Williamston, and we went to the DQ. And we got some ice cream. And the ice cream got caught in my mustache. And then we got out in the sun. And after we got out in the sun, we come back in. She went to kiss me. She says, "You smell funny." I said, "Excuse me?" She says, "You smell funny." I said, "I've been with you the whole time." She said, "But something." I said, "Oh, that's the ice cream. The sun got it." She goes, "Oh." Oh, you know what? Sometimes you're around people and thinking they're smelling funny, and it's actually you, because you got stagnant. Oh, I'm telling you, this is good stuff. This is worth the price of admission twice. Sometimes you're thinking they're stinking, and it's you, because you've grown stagnant, because you're stuck. Amen? So watch. If we're going to change our circumstances, it's going to require faith. And here it goes. I'm hurrying up because we got an RT to go. Anybody knows what an RT means? It means we got to go speed up. RTs, speed. Okay. I need to refocus my thoughts if I want to change my life. Proverbs 24 and 23 says, "Keep vigilant watch over your heart." That's where life starts. Amen. We're moving on quickly. Are you ready? You got to stop making excuses. If you want to start, stop making excuses. Take an inventory of your life. Act in faith. Refocus yourself. And then you got to trust God with the circumstances. You see, You have to trust God to help you succeed. If it had been me, I would have never gotten that big cat, that little cage of that big woman. No. I'm not talking, when I say big, I'm talking about WWF wrestler big. I thought she was going to kill me. If it had been my choice, I would have not been up there. I'd have been down on the ground somewhere where I could have been sending her back and forth if I had to work with her. If I had my choice, I'd been working with somebody else. But the Lord fixed it that day. Because actually she had actually come to a head because she just kept on and she would ridicule and she would burst the bubble and she would give me some of the sorriest assignments. And I don't know, other than just the God in me was just tearing her up because I didn't do anything to the woman at all. Nothing. But the Lord that day in that cage, 30 foot in the air for 8 hours, maybe 10 hours, changed the whole situation. You see, you got to trust God. I have to depend on Him. You have to depend on Him. If you're going through something, you're trying to start again, you can't depend on yourself. Because I'll get up and start moving and go, well, I remember what they did to me. Nope. Well, it'd be a whole lot easier just to sit here and be mad. Nope. Well, can we do it tomorrow? Nope. Well, maybe some other time. Nope. Well, when it's a little better. No. If God's told you to start moving forward, you ain't got to take it all on at one time. You just got to do it. Remember the story about the preacher? I'll make it real short. The story about the preacher came in. It snowed really, really bad. He goes into church, and there's only one person in the congregation, just one, an old farmer. He says, well, it snowed too deep. Nobody else can come to church tonight. Today, he says, so let's just go on home. And the farmer said, hold on, preacher, hold on. Said, if I go to feed my cows, only one shows up to the fence. I don't go back home. I still feed them. He goes, okay, you've convicted me. Go ahead and sit down. And so the preacher started preaching. He preached again. When he got through, he walked back to the back, shake the man's hand. He said, well, how'd you like that, son? He said, you never let me finish telling you my story. He said, if I go to feed my cows, only one shows up at the fence. He says, I don't feed them the whole load at one time. Which I just did, right? the funny section over there, the pit detention section over there. Y'all ought to see how your pastor gets abused by those guys. Yeah, like the time I went up there. And when I got ready to leave, the guy kept talking junk to me, the prisoner, and he told me, he said, come on up here with your big old Bugs Bunny teeth. He says, your old Bugs Bunny teeth self. He said, come on up here and talk to me. And so he was really, really obnoxious. And so I'm getting ready to leave. And he said, oh, come back here, Bugs Bunny. And so we're going out and we're on the way to Krispy Kreme. And they said, well, did you have any problems? And I said, yeah, I had this one guy kept calling me Bugs Bunny, but I don't want to hear it again. Okay, y'all, I hadn't heard it enough tonight. I don't want to hear it again, my old Bugs Bunny teeth looking self. They said, okay, you won't hear it again. We promise. I come around the corner, and there's Frank. When I come around the corner, Frank had two straws. He went, where are we going to sit, Pastor? That was hilarious that night. But we have a lot of fun. We really do. All right. So look. You can't depend on yourself alone because that's why we fail. Many times we fail because we do it ourselves. You got to let God help. So here it goes. Here's the last slide. Oh, look at all of this. Y'all read it out loud. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let's try not to mess it up. That'd be a good song. Praise and worship song. You can mess it up. Mess it up. If you never start, mess it up. Okay. All right. Watch this. He said in the past, here's the last slide, I promise. Three things you can do with mistakes and hurts. Behind me are mistakes that I made. Behind me are hurts that I made. Behind me, I'm paying for mistakes somebody else made. And behind me, I'm paying for hurts that somebody hurt me. So here it is. Behind me are my mistakes and hurts. Behind me are mistakes and hurts of somebody else, but it still hurt me. Here's the three things we do. I put this last because I want to make sure this stays in your head. Ready? Number one, this is what most people do. Watch this. Resolve to never make another mistake or be hurt again. I tell you what, I'll never make another mistake. I'll never do that again. How many have ever said that? I'll never do that again. Or, one thing about it, they won't hurt me again. Anybody ever said that? Well, they won't hurt me again. I guarantee you, they won't hurt me again. Guess what? That's impossible. Because you are going to do it again, and somebody else is going to hurt you again. So when you get that in your mind, get that mindset, all it does is separate you from people. It separates you from people. It separates you from potential. Because you're saying, I'm not going to do that again, or I'm not going to get hurt again. Resolve. Number two, retreat. Let mistakes and hurts make a coward out of you. There's a lot of people in church that would do a lot more if they could just get past that. Well, I made a mistake last time I tried it. Nobody, you know, I didn't mean for it to be that way. I had no idea this was going to happen. We were up there and I kept telling the praise team, we're in Williamson, Church of God, and I kept telling the praise team, fellas, it's not your job to get the people to worship. It's not your job. Their response. Your job is to lead them in worship. Their response is between them and God. And so, depending on who was leading, sometimes if they didn't get the response they wanted, they would just keep on going and keep on going. And one day, I think we went 30 minutes because the guy didn't get the response that he was looking for. And so, after service, I said, can I talk to you for a minute? He said, sure. And him and his wife came in. And they sat down in my office. I said, do you remember what I told you? That this is praise and worship, and your job in praise and worship is to lead people in praise and worship. And this is the mistake a lot of us make many times. Even pastors make it when they're preaching. They think they are responsible for the response. He said, yeah, I remember you telling me that, Pastor. I said, I'll tell you that just about every week, don't I? He said, yeah. I said, well, today I watched you get frustrated in praise and worship, which that did not encourage anybody to praise and worship because you got frustrated. And you actually fussed at the crowd because they weren't responding, and then you just wouldn't stop. And he said something like, But, and I said, there's no buts about it. Your job is to lead. That's all. God takes care of everything else. The people responding to God, it's them, not you. And that guy, I told him this 100 times, but that day he got mad. I weren't fussing. I weren't talking out of turn. I was doing just like I'm doing right now. He got up and walked out. And I didn't see him again for several weeks. I finally got a chance to contact him. And I said, what is going on, man? I said, we weren't fussing. We weren't having any problems. I was just trying to explain to you what we're doing. And he said, I know. He said, but what the problem was, Pastor, it's my fault. He said, not yours. He said, when I walked out, I was thinking it was your fault, making excuses. He said, but as I started thinking about it, I began to realize you were right. As you've told me again and again and again. He said, and I just wore my feelings on my sleeve. Feelings, don't go by your feelings. And he said, and I was really trying to get the people to respond to what we were doing. And I said, see, you're just worshiping God. That's it. He said, I realize that now. And he said, Pastor, will you please forgive me? I said, I forgave you when it happened. He said, well, you ain't gonna kick me off the team, are you? I said, no. I said, especially if you've learned this lesson, no. He said, okay. He said, I'm ready to get back up. I said, well, okay, that's fine. Now that you got it all worked out, you and God got it all worked out. He said, we got it all worked out. I said, cool. You see, what happened to him was he retreated. It didn't make a coward out of him. It made him mad. But he didn't realize when he got mad that it still made made him retreat to the point where he weren't even being able to be used anymore. And once he thought about it, watch this. This is what he did. Rebound. Here's your choice. You can resolve. I'm never going to make a mistake again. I'm never going to be hurt again. You can retreat and say, which is kind of similar to resolve, and then, or you can rebound. Learn from your mistakes. Move beyond your hurts. Keep going. That's where we need to be. That's what we have to do. That's what we have to do. BJ, can you come on up this way? Here it is. I love this from last week. Little friendly reminder. The past is all, and is and always will be the past. Forever. You can't change it. A couple of good old quotes here. You can't change the past on what you should have done, but you can change the present and future on what you do and what you will do. Here's those little quotes. I love these little quotes. Shake the dust from your past and move forward with His promises. K. Arthur. Leave the broken, irreversible past in God's hands and step out into the invincible future with Him. Oswald Chambers. We can't just put our past behind us. We've got to put our past in front of God. There's the difference. You've got to put it behind you, but put it in front of God. The Lord says, forget what happened before and do not think about the past. Look at the new thing I'm going to do. It's already happening. Don't you see it? I will make a road in the desert and rivers in the dry land. Isaiah 43:18 and 19. Everybody stand. Every last one of us have regrets. Every last one of us has hurts. Every one of us have been hurt. Every one of us has hurt somebody else. Every last one of us have made mistakes. There's not one in here that's not guilty of all those things. Every last one of us are guilty. Guilty is charged. We can live in it, or we can rise up from the ashes. You know, John McCain, when he was running for president, of course, he's the senator from Arizona. Y'all know what his call sign is from the Secret Service? Phoenix. And they said it's Phoenix because he's from Arizona. That's his call name. Daniel was blessed. Daniel got a chance to guard John McCain when Daniel was in Afghanistan. And Daniel told me he had never met a nicer, more awesome man than John McCain. And he said that man, when he got in with him, toted the scars of Vietnam so many years before. This man was a pilot. A courageous pilot. One time a plane caught on fire on the ship, on the aircraft carrier, and at the risk of his own life, he pushed it out of the way and got out to keep other people from being hurt. When he gets captured over in Vietnam, they're torturing him. They put him on, they tortured him to the point that his arms were literally not much to the shoulders anymore because his arms had been done like this and pulled and stretched. He had a chance because his daddy was an admiral. He had a chance. They were going to bargain and let one prisoner go home, and they were going to let it be John McCain. This man was suffering in a prisoner of war camp. And he said, my friend is much sicker than I am. Take him. And John McCain stayed more years thereafter, sending his friend who was sicker than him to the States. When I see the phoenix rose out of the ashes. John McCain rose out of the ashes. And I believe with all my heart he's truly an American hero. And he served our country. Not only that way, but he served our country also through the Senate. When I see stories like that, or Dave Reaver, who was burnt to a crisp and now out preaching the gospel after hundreds of operations and still getting operations. After watching some of these guys rising from the ashes to do things for God. Wow. Some of y'all in here right now, you're in that pile of ashes, thinking, why did you let this happen to me, God? And God is trying to tell you it didn't happen to you, it happened for you. So that through you, you can help others. Rise up like the phoenix out of those ashes. Move forward. Move forward. Move forward. Stop making excuses. Take an inventory of your life. What you've gained, what you lost. Act in faith. Refocus with God's help. And then trust God to do the work through you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're in here right now, and this message struck a chord with you, and you're ready to rise from the ashes like the phoenix, you're ready to get up and move on, brush your pants off and just move on. You're ready to see God do something again in your life like He used to. I can tell you to be better than used to, because now you've become cracked. You've become broken. And I can tell you right now, the greater the crack, the greater the light will shine through. Remember that storm went through those trees. I couldn't see the sun until the storm came through and moved the dead brush out of the way. And then I could see the sun shining. If you're here this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed, and you wouldn't say, just be brave. I'm not going to make an example of you, but you stick up that hand and say, I need that. I need to step forward. I need to step forward. I need to start. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I love you, Father. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that we're not stuck. That it didn't happen to us. It happened for us. I thank you, God. Just like Jesus, who gave us the prime example, who rose on the third day. Some of us today need to rise. Rise. No excuses. Rise. Rise. Rise up. Rise up. Rise up from the ashes. Thank God for a fresh start. Thank God for moving forward. Thank God that you're no longer stuck. You have options. God's got you. God's going to use you. Now, if anybody's got a need from God, anybody's got something they need God to do for you, whatever it may be, the altar's open. The altar's open. Won't you come and pray? Won't you come and pray? God's got something in store for every last one of us. Rise up! Rise up! All right, here's what I want you to say. I want you to put those hands up and I want you to say, rise up. It's time to rise up. It's time to rise up from the ashes. Y'all say that. It's time to rise up from the ashes. It's time to rise up from the ashes. Amen. If you'll rise up from those ashes, the next thing you're going to be saying is, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, help us all, Lord, to rise up from the ashes. Help us, God, to know, Lord, there's freedom on the other side, Lord. Yes, there's a time when we have to sit in those sackcloth and ashes. But God, just like with Job, his end was much better than his beginning. And we thank you for that. Lord, in the name of Jesus, touch us and anoint us and use us, God, in a greater manner. Help us not to resolve to never mess up again, because that's impossible. Help us not to resolve to not be hurt again. That's impossible. Help us not to retreat and say, well, if I'm going to mess up, I'm not going to do anything. God, help us in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it. This is a true story. An executive at IBM messed up, and it cost the company $50,000. True story. The man went in and thought they were going to fire him. He sits in the CEO's office, and the CEO says, you know, that was a $50,000 error you made. He said, yep. He said, I guess I need to pack my bags and get on out of here. He says, why? He said, because I made a $50,000 mistake. I cost you a lot. He said, no. He said, you just cost us $50,000 to train you. Go back to your office. Don't do it again. Learn from it. True story. Isn't that awesome? Amen. God's awesome. All the time. Brother Benny, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to hear the message that you have presented for us today. As we leave here, let us take this message with us and let us change our lives to put our life more in accordance with what you would have it to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.